God's using you on that guitar. That's beautiful, isn't it? I love to see the young people up ministering for the Lord. I mean, they're the church of tomorrow. That's just beautiful. Thank you, Cade. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of the prophet Joel? Joel chapter 2. And I want to begin reading at verse 21. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. At the time of this writing, the nation of Israel was probably in the worst food famine in its history. And these words of Joel are a comfort and an encouragement to the people of Israel, because we're going to read the power of God and what God can achieve and accomplish in spite of years of a horrible situation. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Praise God. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I want you to pay particular attention to verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the palmer worm, and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the restorer of years. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, today as we come to you, I thank you and I praise you for the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit that we've been made to feel. And Lord, I ask for your anointing this morning to rest upon me to deliver your word to your people. Lord, I ask that you would come and let me be your mouthpiece unto your people today, Lord. And that, Father, then I know they'll be blessed, they'll be strengthened, edified, and uplifted in their most holy faith. And Lord, I just pray for everyone today who's been involved in a struggle, perhaps over a protracted period of time. And it seemed like maybe because of a past situation that they felt it can never be fixed. But Lord Jesus, you're the restorer of years. And I praise you and give you glory this morning for whatever you're going to do this day. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I said, at the time that the Holy Spirit moved on the prophet Joel to write the text that we read today, Israel was embedded in one of the worst famines that they had ever known. And it was at the doing, strangely enough, as a work of God, a judgment against Israel because they had rejected Jehovah God and went chasing after the false gods of Babylon and Persia. And in the midst of it all, God sends Joel to speak to the people. And I don't know what your situation may be this morning, but the Holy Spirit just simply told me, go tell my people, I can turn it around in a second. Oh, I feel that this morning. He said, go tell my people I can turn it around in a second if they'll believe me and believe my word. You know, heaven shouts when we believe God. Really. I wish the Lord would pull back the curtain in our minds for just a moment this morning. And let us see what goes on in heaven when we believe God and stand on His word in spite of whatever situation we may find ourselves in the natural realm. Because if we look at our situation, however dark and bleak it may be, it's going to bring discouragement. Because there are things in this life that are above our heads. Simply that we as humans just cannot deal with. Even to the child of God, certain situations are going to come that are so beyond our comprehension as humans to be able to deal with a situation that if we don't exercise our most holy faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will become so discouraged that we'll just feel like giving up. Like there's no point in going on. And that's why this prophecy, meant to be an encouragement to Israel, came through Joel. And Joel writes these words in the midst of this famine. People are going hungry. Cattle are dying. There are no crops in the field at the time that Joel is sent by God to deliver this prophecy. But here's the key to it that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us all to see this morning. God always honors faith. I want that to sink in today. God will always honor faith if that faith is proper. If that faith is laid upon Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross, God will always honor that faith. And if you are believing God for a deliverance, if you're believing God for a blessing, if you're believing God for an answer of some type to your situation, to your problem, to your perplexity, if you will stand on the Word of God and believe Him in the midst of that problem, He's going to answer you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you what you need because you are His child. He went to the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. And He wants you to believe Him. Know that He is good and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I feel this morning. God is not going to forsake you. Don't look at your situation thinking it can never be fixed. I failed God too greatly. I can never become what I should have been. That is a lie from the enemy, because your God is able to do all things according to the great power, the power of the Holy Ghost that works in you. He can turn any situation around. He can make any situation 100% better than it was just seconds or even days before. He's God. He is not limited in what He can do. And He sends His word through the prophet Joel to Israel to test the faith of Israel, to see, even though you have sinned, even though you have turned your back on me and worship false gods, and I've had to judge that sin, I yet call out unto you, and if you will believe me and believe what my prophet Joel is saying, I have untold blessing that I will send you, and I will reverse the entirety of the previous 7 years of famine and cursing. If you'll believe me, I'll bless you. God can turn it around. Hallelujah. Only God can do it, though. Only Jehovah God is able to do what I'm preaching about. And Joel speaks to the nation of Israel in the darkest, bleakest of situations. And in essence asks them, to put it in the modern vernacular, will you believe your God? Will you believe that He's a good God? Will you believe that He loves you? Will you believe that He is able to turn this entire situation around? I love the way that the Word of God puts it in Joel 2 and verse 25. And He says, I'll restore the years unto you that the locust and the palmer worm and the canker worm, my great army which I sent among you, has eaten away. I was reading this week an article in a Christian periodical. And I don't want to be too negative this morning, but I'm not even going to name who wrote the periodical, but it was a prominent minister whom I respect. But in the article, there was a story about an alcoholic who had found Christ. But what I read in the article so troubled me, because alongside of this man finding Christ, and I believe he really did get saved, according to the way the article was written and his statements. But he said, listen to this, I couldn't have made it without my 12-step program. Now think of that. And you may think, well, Pastor, what is so bad about that? For somebody to say something like that, it doesn't sound bad. If he's going to this 12-step program and it helped him, what's so bad with it? I'll tell you what's so bad with it. Because the 12-step program is not of God. It's not God's system of deliverance. And worse than that, to hold up any system of man alongside the finished work and the power of what Jesus did on the cross is an abomination unto God. Do you see that, church? Do you see that? That's what Israel had, in essence, done. They had held up the idols of the nations around them alongside Jehovah God, giving them equal authority and equal power in their mind with God. And any time there is such a tragedy, a spiritual tragedy that transpires, any time people try to hold up anything alongside the glorious person of Jesus Christ and the power of His finished work on the cross, it stands alone, the cross does, as God's system of deliverance, as God's system of cleansing. There's nothing else that can do it. And this scripture in Joel 2:25, where He says, I'll restore the years. How many times have I seen it happen? How many times has it happened in your life where I've seen people that have come bound by drugs and alcohol, ready to commit suicide? I shared the story last week of the couple in my brother-in-law's church who was gloriously saved. They were on their last leg. They had come to church that day bound by alcohol and drugs, ready to commit suicide. But they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in seconds time, the power of God flowed into their lives when they put faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, and everything changed. Hallelujah. 20 years of sin and debauchery were immediately wiped away through the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The years were restored unto them. The years were restored unto them. That's what it means. It means that if you'll believe God, and if you'll believe in God's system and God's way, He'll turn anything around for you. I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care how deep the debauchery, how long it's been going on. If you'll believe Him and believe His way, He says, I'll restore the years unto you. That's a beautiful statement when you look at it, because it means I'll make it like those horrible things never even happened in the first place. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. He can do that. And I believe He's calling simply on some of us this morning, some of you perhaps, to believe Him for that. Satan has been pummeling some of you, telling you that you're never going to be all that God wants you to be. That the situation that you find yourself in is never going to change. It's never going to get any better. My, don't believe that. Believe the word of the Lord today. The Holy Spirit is reaching out to some today. I know it. I sense it. And He's telling you, if you'll believe Me, I'm going to turn it for you. I'm going to restore the years for you. I can make it like it never happened, like the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm never even touched the ground or touched your life. The sin, the debauchery, the failure, I can make it like it never happened. He's God. He can do all things. And He's calling you to believe Him this morning. He's calling you just to believe His word this morning. I know this is simple. And He started pouring this through me on the front row this morning. Ravonna asked me, she said, what are you preaching from today? I said, I'm coming out of Acts chapter 10 on the house of Cornelius and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me on this front row as we were in worship this morning about the time we were singing that song, I'm Desperate for You. He said, some of my people are desperate this morning. They've been involved in the canker worm and the locust and the palmer worm has been eaten away for years. But he said, you go and tell them this morning, if they'll believe me, I'll restore the years for them. I can make it like it never happened. I can fix any wrong. I can right any malady. I can heal anything. I am God and I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they ask or think. If they will believe me, if they will believe me, I'll restore the years for them. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And he said, in essence, Joel did, if you'll believe God, you'll eat in plenty. Your barns will be full because he's a restorer of years. One of my favorite stories about missionaries, and I believe the story so graphically shows how God can instantly change years of horror and abuse in a person's life. How God instantly can take a life that's been lived in rebellion to him, and in seconds, wipe it all clean and turn that person into a stalwart for his kingdom. Morris Plotz had sensed a call of God to be a missionary very early in his life, but yet he fell into sin, alcoholism. And for 30-some years, was an alcoholic, living in rebellion against God. His whole life practically was spent in rebellion and in rejection of the call that God had placed on his life. Finally, at about 70 years old, he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. Now think of that, 70 years old, knowing from a young age he had a call of God on his life to be a missionary. Shortly after he got saved, he was baptized in the mighty Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And the denomination that he was in at that time, which it was the Assemblies of God, as God moved upon him and reminded him of that call that he'd placed on his life as a very young boy, think of that, 70 years old. God reminded him, I've never lifted that call. You know, I taught you a few weeks ago that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That's so true. That's so true. God's giftings and God's calling, he never changes his mind on them. I don't care if the person flows in what they're supposed to do or not. God's not going to change his mind once he sends an individual into this world with a gifting. Once he sends an individual into this world with a calling, God will never change his mind on it. And Morris, like all of us, had been called since before he was in his mother's womb. And now at 70 years old, he'd finally come to God, and God began to work on him and remind him, I've called you to be a missionary, Morris. Think of that, at 70 years old. Now most people, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I have trouble getting out of bed at 52. You know, just to get to work. And I mean, sometimes that's rough, you know. And that's when you got a nice soft bed and all the amenities, you know. You ever have those days like old Harley from Newark Heights said, I had a rough week last Tuesday. You know, that's, some days are like that. But at 70 years old, I can't hardly get my mind around that. But God was dealing on him and dealing with him and reminded him, I've called you to be a missionary. And finally, and specifically, he told him, I've called you to be a missionary to South Africa. Gave him the country at 70 years old. Most, I believe if it were me, I would have been a little bit like Moses. I would have probably argued with the Lord. Wouldn't you, Ned? Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? You know, I can't talk. I can just hear this conversation. But in his memoirs, Morris wrote, when God reminded me of that call, there was no hesitation at all. Even though I was 7 years old, I knew what I had to do. So he went before the hierarchy of the Assemblies of God Mission Board. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall in this meeting? When in walks a 70-year-old man who's probably been saved less than, at this time, a couple of years now. And he comes in and tells you, God wants me to be a missionary for this denomination to South Africa. You know, I really can't fault too bad the in one sense, the missions board, the Assemblies of God. Naturally, they told him, very kindly, we appreciate it, Morris, but, you know, we really can't let you go to the mission field. You're a 70-year-old man. And he said, I've got the call of God on my life to do this. He appealed to the Executive Presbytery then, the Assemblies of God, their highest governing board, walked in before them and asked them, will you let me go to the mission fields of South Africa? God's called me to go there. And they told him, Morris, we so appreciate your hunger for wanting to spread the gospel, and it's evident that you're excited about it, but you're 70 years old. I got to digress for just a moment. This is why God doesn't speak to boards. Can I tell you that? You won't find one place in the Bible where God ever spoke to a board. God speaks to the individual. And they declined Morris again. The Executive Presbytery did. He went home heartbroken, thinking that because of my sinful life, even though I knew as a young child that God had his call on my life to be a missionary, I rejected it. And he said he went home just in utter despair, thinking, it can never be now. It can never be now. And in his memoirs, he said the Lord took him to this verse, Joel 2:25. And he caught what the Holy Spirit was telling him. And then the Lord specifically spoke to him and said, you go raise the money. I'll speak to the people's hearts. And you go to South Africa. Morris, with the entirety of the leadership of the Assemblies of God telling him, don't go, went out and started to ask people for money to send him to the mission field of South Africa. And God opened the door and opened the pocketbooks of the people as they sensed the moving of the Holy Spirit that God's call was on this man's life at 70 years old, and he had to go to the mission fields of South Africa. Well, long story, abbreviated version. Morris raised the money, went to the mission fields of South Africa, and established more churches than any other missionary in the Assembly of God. He finally died on the mission field at about 82 years old, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that those were the most happy, sweet, and blessed years of his life, and he won untold thousands to the Lord Jesus Christ on the mission fields. Now think of that. God can restore the years. It's never too late for God. Oh, I feel that this morning. It's never too late for God. Don't write yourself off because God has not written you off. Amen? Brian, you'll understand this Christian experience. It's a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. Praise God. And the good thing about it is that if you'll just keep running the race, God will see to it you get a medal. Amen? Brian here a few weeks back won this big triathlon here locally. Is that right, Brian? Had his picture in the paper and everything. We've got a celebrity here amongst us now. But Brian finished first in it. Only Brian got the first place prize. But that's the beauty of this Christian experience. Just stay on the track and keep walking with God and watch what He'll do. He can restore the years. Amen? I don't care how long you've been running. Stay on the track because your God will not quit on you if you'll keep believing Him. If you won't quit, God won't quit. And it's never too late. It's never too late with God to do what He's called you to do. I am so excited for what I know God is doing and about to do in this church. And some of you may be thinking, my Lord, Pastor, there ain't but a handful of us here today. Faith says this church is full. Faith says we're going to get Sunday school teachers. Faith says He's going to call some of you to witness and to do things you've never done before. And I'm believing Him for it. This morning I'm going to tell you something that's going to be a blessing to you, I believe. Everybody knows Mike Warfield, don't they? You know how shy and quiet Mike is. If you I think I killed him last Sunday morning about when we called him up here just to pray for him. But I've always seen in Mike, I just love him like a brother. I've always seen in Mike a hunger for God. Like I've seen a few people, I've seen a hunger to know the Word of God and the love of God's truth. Like I've seen a few people that I've ever met in my life. And I've always thought, Lord, Mike would make such a wonderful teacher, but I can't call him to do that. That's not my job. You know, sometimes we look at people and think, well, this person would be wonderful at this or that. And they're terrible at it. Because God calls and God equips. Always know this. God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. He got to have that call of God to do anything for him. If the call's not there, I don't care how talented, how brilliant, how amazing you may be. If that call ain't there, God's not going to use that gift very much. Because he has not called you and specifically anointed you to do that. But you know, Mike, and my heart jumped within me yesterday. As I was speaking with Mahari on the phone, he said, I got something I got to tell you. And the Lord's been telling me he's going to do this with a lot of you all. I'm probably scaring you to death right now, but get ready. God's going to call and equip some of you. He's already called you and you already know it. But he said, we're going to the prison tomorrow, Greg, to minister me and Mahari and Monique and Mike. He said, are you ready for this? He said, Mike's going to teach tomorrow at the prison. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, oh, glory to God. My heart leapt within me. Because I've seen it for a long time now, the call of God, I believe, on Mike's life to be a teacher. And Mike, I don't believe it ever say that or say a word about it. But I'm telling you, God's moving in a mighty way. And I'm believing him for greater things in this church and in your lives. And you know what? If you'll believe it with me, he'll bless you. And if you don't believe it with me, merely by hanging out around here, you're going to get blessed in the process. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because he's going to restore the years for this church. He's going to restore the years for this church. Hallelujah. Just like he's done for Brother Swaggart's ministry, who for years they were mocked and looked askance at. But glory to God, they're not laughing now. Hallelujah. The TBN and the Daystar heretics are no longer laughing because now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Christ and him crucified is going around this world. Hallelujah. And we're a part of that. We are a part of that in this church. And I know God is in the process of doing it for us right now. He's going to restore those years that we have been mocked and maligned and made fun of. And just as a little band of idiots who don't know how to do anything more. But we have our faith in the right place. And God is going to restore the years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he can do it in a second's time. That's why you can't go by what you're seeing right now. Because for years, I've got to use it. It's such a beautiful example. Down there, I remember being down there when in Baton Rouge when they were having one of their early telethons for Sun Life Radio. And Lauren came to me. And he said, be in prayer for us. He said, we've got to raise $10,000 next week just to be able to stay on the air. $10,000. God's been giving them $1 million a month now. Hallelujah. With people giving freely. Why? Just like they gave to Morris Plotts. They see the call of God. They see the moving of the Holy Spirit on this message. It ain't about Jimmy Swaggart. It ain't about Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. It's about the message of Christ and him crucified. Hear me on this. The Holy Ghost is searching this world right now for people that'll believe in Christ and him crucified. He's looking for churches that'll believe in Christ and him crucified. And when he finds them and they'll believe him, just like what Joel said, God is going to restore the years. And he's going to do it for individuals too. Never, never, never give up on what God's called you to do. Don't think because circumstances of this life have maybe hindered it. And maybe even our own rebellion has stopped it for a while. God is going to do in your life what he wants to do. I hope he don't wait till I'm 70. But if he does, I'll still be here or somewhere preaching Christ and him crucified. There's nothing else. That's how God restores the years, through the cross. That's the only way it can be done. You know, you can apply what I'm preaching this morning to any area of your life that you feel the enemy has robbed. If he's stolen your finances, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. When God gets ready, if you'll just keep believing him, stay on the track, keep running the race, and you'll get a prize. He'll bless you. Everybody in this race gets a first place prize. That's all. You see, because God's not interested in what position you finish in. He's just interested in seeing you finish. And you know what? The beauty of having your faith in Christ and what he did at the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit is operating in your life all the time. And that means even if you fall down sometimes on the track, and I do quite often, he's there to pick you up and say, come on, go on. We got a little bit farther to run. It ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over. And all of a sudden, with the Holy Spirit, God can restore the entirety of a poorly run race and make it just like you were in first place all along. Hallelujah. God can restore the years. God can restore the years. Chris, I know you know what I'm talking about. I never will forget it. Back at a former church we were at, God wanted to, just for a time, put some of the people on that church for a shelf. You know, what I call putting you on the shelf for a while. Doesn't mean you've sinned. It doesn't mean you don't have a call of God. But God's done it to me before. Where he takes an individual because he wants to teach them something. He wants to consecrate them a little bit more and take them a little bit deeper in him. He'll take them out of ministry altogether and set them on a shelf for a while he can. He calls them aside to come unto him for a little bit and just be dedicated unto him and to allow him to work in their life. And now we as humans think, our thinking is, oh, got to do ministry. Oh, if I'm ever out of it. And you know what happens? What I've seen? People fall more in love with their ministry than they do Jesus Christ. But God, I know, took Chris for a while and put him on the shelf. And just wanted him to sit and learn. He wanted him to sit and learn the message of the cross. And there were others at that church who were in leadership. I know God wanted to do the same thing with, but they rejected it. They refused it. And Chris sat there and heard the message of the cross. And look what God's doing with him today. Same thing with you, Michelle. Look at where God's brought you to and others of you. I don't want to get into naming peoples. I don't want anybody to feel left out. As I look at all your lives, God's done that with all of us. Or he's in the process of it. And maybe you're thinking because I've done this or that, he could never use me. As I close this morning, the simple message, know this. There's nothing the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. And once you're cleansed in the blood of Jesus, guess what? It's as if all the other stuff in the past never happened anyway. And hear this, get this morning. Let this go deep in your spirit. God never works from what might have been. God always works from the standpoint of what is. Now that should make every one of us shout. Why? Because if God doesn't work from what might have been, but works from what is, that means the very second I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, God the Father has a whole brand new palette, if you will, on which to paint. And he don't mind starting the painting all over again. And he can instantly bring the painting where it should have been all along, in spite of years of living contrary to his word. Let him restore the years for you today. And I feel the pressing of the Holy Spirit before I go to the altar call this morning. He may not do it tomorrow. I'm not offering you that. He may not do it next week. But if you'll just keep believing him, he'll restore the years for you. There'll come a time, if you'll just keep believing him and not quit, that he'll give you complete victory over that personality flaw that's been plaguing you. If you'll keep believing him. See, we think as humans, because I failed, It may be because I repetitively failed and I have to keep asking God to forgive me. He can't use me. I'm not experiencing the victory I should be experiencing manifest in the natural. Here's where your faith comes in, church. Settle it in your mind, settle it in your heart, that because of your faith in Jesus Christ and the spirit realm, your victory's already there. It's already there. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't believe nobody does, if they'll be honest, on why sometimes God allows us to keep on struggling with a particular area in our lives. But he did it with Paul. And he gave Paul the reason why, though. Paul said, because of the abundance of revelations that have been given unto me, the Lord gave me this thorn in the flesh so that I wouldn't think myself above other men. Maybe God hasn't specifically let you know why. Why the complete victory and deliverance has not manifested yet, but keep on believing him. Don't quit believing him. And don't believe that lie of the enemy that says, well, if he does give me victory now, it's too late. He'll restore the years. Praise God. He'll restore the years. He's God. He can do it. He can make it like there was never any struggle at all. Like there was never any issue at all. That's the power of God. And I don't know who this has been for this morning. Perhaps several of you, but you got to know this. I think you sense it. The Holy Spirit wanted you to get this today as a source of encouragement to you. Because I had not intended on ministering on one word I've said today. And some of you are probably saying, amen, Pastor. It came out that way too. But that don't matter. It's the Word of God. It's what's important. He'll restore the years to you if you'll believe him this morning. Don't look at your situation in the natural. Reach out in faith to him today. And know that, Lord, when you get ready, I'm standing on your word. You're a restorer of years. You'll make this thing like it never even happened. Wow. What a God. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Please don't limit him in your thinking today. Because there's a heavy, heavy anointing of the Holy Spirit I sense in this place today. And I don't know when he's going to do it. He may do it today. He may do it tomorrow. But don't limit him. Stay in your faith. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't look at your human performance. Don't look at your circumstance. Because God is saying today to, I believe, some of you, I am going to restore the years for you. Now, when he's going to do that, that's up to him. But I believe that's the message that the Holy Spirit wanted to put across today. God is a restorer of the years, and he's going to do it for you if you'll believe him. If you'll believe him. You know, this week, Phil Maritas, is it okay if I share a little bit about that email you sent me this week? To show you how mankind can get so messed up in his faith. I believe it's over in the Philippines right now, Maritas, is that correct? Where they're having this thing. In the Old Testament, there was this Nazirite vow. And some in the church in the Philippines want to go back to this Nazirite vow that was in the Old Testament. And it had three tenets to it. You couldn't cut your hair, you couldn't drink alcohol, and you couldn't touch a dead body. And they're believing that by keeping the Nazirite vow, that they're going to bring in a wave of holiness and power into their lives. Again, what's so bad about all that, Pastor? Those three things don't sound bad. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. The Nazirite vow, keeping a vow, don't cleanse you. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that does that. And I've been praying for that country of the Philippines ever since I got that email from Phil and Maritas telling me what the churches there were doing. They, like the church in America, need to come back to the cross exclusively. But I'm making a point here as I close. For years, I didn't know or understand the cross as I should have. I preached it for salvation, saw people come to the Lord. But I stood guilty before the Lord of mixing the cross with other things. Years of spiritual darkness and bleakness. Now, you would have never known it but to look at me on the outside. And some of you are in the same scenario. You'd have never known it. I went to church every Sunday. I love God. It wasn't I was not unsaved. But we so limit to an almost infinitesimal level the power of the Holy Spirit when we mix our faith with Christ and Him crucified and something else. To hold up anything alongside of it, it virtually kills out the power of the Spirit in our lives. And we go in to spiritual declension and spiritual adultery, the Bible calls it. But after years of living that way, and I was saved. I believe if I would have died, I would have went to heaven. But I was so limiting God's power and so ignorant of the depth of God's love for me. But the day I got the message of the cross and the lights came on, God restored the years for me that day. All of a sudden, I understood the Bible better than I ever did before. I understood faith better than I ever did before. And I understood the depth, the gravity, the love, and the beauty of what He'd done for me on the cross like never before. Praise God. That's the kind of revival the church needs today. That's the kind of revival the church worldwide needs. And hear me on this. That's the kind of revival that God is sending right now. To all who believe, He's going to restore the years. All the years of the word of faith junk. All the years of psychology. All the years of the church holding up other things alongside the cross. God's going to restore the years to the church, to those who believe and come exclusively to the cross of Jesus Christ. He can do that worldwide. He can do it for you this morning. Believe Him to restore the years for you. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise? Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you stand? Four pages of beautiful notes, not even touched. No, that's okay. I want what the Holy Ghost wants. I'm not here to prove I can preach. I can't. Nobody can until He moves on them. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I've done my best to obey You, Lord, and deliver what I believe Your Holy Spirit spoke to me to deliver. Lord, I'm asking You for fresh faith to fall on Your people today. That in these few stumbling words I've spoken to them this morning, that somehow the Holy Ghost has enlightened them to the fact that You're the restorer of years. Lord God, pour fresh faith on Your precious people today. Let them know that restoration of years may not come today, it may not come tomorrow, it may not come for another week or another year, or perhaps several years. But if they'll just keep believing You, it's going to come. It's going to come. And You will fulfill everything that You've put them on this earth to do. Oh, Lord, I thank You for people that You're calling, even now. Ones who thought, I could never be used in the kingdom. Oh, Lord, the blood of Jesus so cleanses us, and the Holy Ghost so empowers us. Nothing is impossible with You, Lord. Let Your people see that today. All of us, Lord, I'm not speaking down to me. Let us all see how you can do anything if we'll believe you and if we'll stand on your holy word. I do feel the Holy Spirit prodding me to say this right now. That restoration of years is in the very near future for some of you. I didn't say all of you, some of you. Others of you, it may be a while longer, but it's coming. If you'll keep believing him, it's coming. That's his message to you. You see, when he restores the years, it's like all the years at the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust. And to put it in the proper spiritual adaptation. All the years that you flopped and wallowed around, he'll make it just like you had been walking where you should be all along. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And some of you are very close to him restoring the years for you and doing things in your life that you never thought he could ever do. Praise God. Praise God. But I would urge you, please don't play games with him. Please don't play games with him. I feel that warning from the Holy Spirit to say that. He sees your heart. He sees your heart. And I pray, I hadn't intended to go this way, but I feel the Spirit prodded me to. I pray in your heart that you'll see the horror of playing a game with God. It's evil in his sight. And you may know the right words and you may act the right way. But hear me on this. If there is no change in your life, if there is no hatred of sin that wells up in you when you do fail, you're just playing a game with him. You're not truly born again. A truly born again person will hate sin. Even when, as all of us do, we fall into it, we'll hate it. We'll not want to go back and do it again. And we'll want to repent of it and ask his blood to cleanse us. That's the born again lifestyle. But if you're living a continual life of sin and you're looking to Jesus as some kind of spiritual band-aid who's just there to serve you, you've got a very skewed and improper view of the Son of God. He will restore the years for you. He'll deliver you from anything, any sin. The power of Jesus Christ is greater than any sin, and he'll deliver from it. But you've got to come to him exclusively. And don't play a game with him. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody. But some of you have created a religious Jesus in your heart. What do you mean? What do you mean by that, Pastor? A person in religion only cares about what do the humans think about them. A person in religion only cares in looking right before other humans. That's a person that has their heart and life wrapped up in religion. They only care what other humans think about them. They only care about looking right in front of other humans. But the person who really knows Jesus Christ and is born again is much more concerned about what God thinks about them and what God sees in their life. And if you're bound by sin this morning, he has the power to set you free and to break its hold on your life. But don't play a game with him, please, because it's stenching his nostrils to play a religious game. And you're placing yourself in the same position that Nadab and Abihu did in the Old Testament when they offered up what was called strange fire before the Lord in the temple and God smote them dead. It's a very serious thing to try and play and make a mockery of the cross of Jesus Christ. Please don't do it. And I say that because I love you, not to be mean to you. Now let's go on. He's about ready to restore the years for some of you if you'll believe him. Others a while longer. But But he's calling you. I know he's calling all of us to this, to believe him, to be able to restore the years. He's going to do it. When, I can't say, but he's going to do it. And he can make it just like all of that junk. All of the difficulty. All of the fear and trepidation and failure even in some cases. He can make it like it never even happened. That's the power of God. Make an altar, if you would, right where you're standing there today. And this is, I believe, the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he's simply saying, believe me. Believe my word that I am a restorer of years. And I'll do it for you. Oh, don't let doubt creep in on you right now. I just feel that some might be saying he'll do it for other people, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. God is no respecter of persons. Like that old song says, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Just like he ultimately restored the nation of Israel from this horrible famine, and he did it within just a few days' time. The crops sprang up, the water came, the cattle had food to eat. The livestock had food. Israel was brought out of the famine. He restored the years to Israel. The beautiful application of that is, he'll do it for anybody. Anybody who will believe him. Believe him right now to restore the years for you. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I feel that you, as the Lord and Savior of your people as individuals, want to lay your hand on them today. And let your Holy Spirit flow like a mighty river into their hearts to believe you. That you can restore the years and you will restore the years. Not only can you do it, you will, if we'll believe you. And Lord, give us fresh endurance today, I pray. Pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts to give us a spirit of endurance. To keep on going, to just stay in the race for that restoration of the years will surely come if we'll just keep believing you. I praise you and thank you for your word today, Lord. And I pray that I've pleased you with what I've tried to speak today, Lord. I pray that I was in tune with your Holy Spirit and your people have been blessed and uplifted in their faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Worship him just for a moment now, church. Would you just lift your hands and thank him that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Lord, let the latter rain of your Holy Spirit fall on us right now, as Joel spoke of. Let that latter rain of your blessing fall now. That latter rain of fresh faith, let it fall now, Lord. And let your people leave the sanctuary today knowing you are the restorer of years. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.